Backseat Box Office, episode number 60, for the weekend of November 11th through the 13th, 2011. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Jonathan.
We are the Backseat Producers. You're listening to Backseat Box Office. And it's just the two of us. After the tragedy of this past weekend, and by tragedy I'm referring to what happened with Puss in Boots, Andrew could not bear to show his face this week. Yeah, so... cutting through all the BS, I have had a rough week at work. And for you faithful listeners, you may have realized that there has not been a results show posted this week. Well, we're going to do something about that right now. Sorta. we are going to give you the results that would have normally been in the results show. And in the process, we'll talk about how we did, which it's kind of easy since all three of us had the same pick.
Did exactly the same.
We did the same, and therefore, regardless of how we would have done, we would have ended up in the same position amongst the other hosts. So there's really not much to talk about in that respect. But let's go ahead and talk about what did happen this past weekend. So, Puss in Boots got in its second week. Got 33 million over the weekend. Tower Heist only pulled in 24. Now, the thing about Puss in Boots only pulling in 33 million, that was only a 3% loss over the previous week, which is
insane.
Oh my God. Completely unexpected. To the point where...
Unacceptable.
Well, that too. To the point where those folks who picked Puss in Boots at number one and Tower Heist at number two, which would not be us, I kind of want to poke them in the face. Because that's some BS that you guys had what should have been terrible picks, and we got burned for it.
I think
unacceptable.
To be fair to them, I think that it wasn't unreasonable to think Puss in Boots might stay at number one. I don't think that's entirely unreasonable. I could see Puss in Boots losing $8 million, $9 million, and it would have been about the same. You know, could have lost 30-40% and been about
30% would have lost it $10 million.
Whatever.
It would have been under Tower Heist.
Don't bring maths into this, because I'm just saying...
3%!
I know, but that's not their fault. They might have just been expecting it was going to be a close race. It's not their fault that Puss in Boots utterly destroyed
everything else.
And I don't think... I'm going to say I don't think it's entirely our fault for deciding to put Tower Heist up there, because it made about what we thought it was going to make. We just thought Puss in Boots was going to...
Would actually trend the way every other movie this year has and lose between 30-50% of its box office in its second week. Not 3%.
Yeah.
It is becoming The Help.
Let's not go overboard.
All right. So So Puss in Boots, 33 million. Tower Heist, 24. A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas, 12.9. Paranormal Activity 3 pulled in 8.3 million, and In Time pulled in 7.4. Interestingly enough, no one picked anything other than those five movies. Everyone who had picks last week picked those five movies. Nobody got a 25.
You want to know what's really depressing? Is that last week when I wrote down my picks, I wrote down Puss in Boots, Tower Heist, Harold and Kumar, Paranormal Activity, and In Time. And then I listened to you pontificate.
You were lured. Like, you were lured by my siren song.
I put down a little, like, you know, I could see switching these two. I could see switching these two. So I put that down, but and then I, you know, followed my, I don't know what it was, because apparently my instincts wrote it down correctly, and then I just was like, screw you, I'm going to go my own way, and then lost myself 5 points.
Yeah, that happened. So,
that's how we did.
Yeah. That's exactly how we did. We're going to go ahead and do this like we normally do. We're going to start at the top and work our way down. We do have a voicemail.
At the bottom.
we could start at the bottom. It's not that hard. Hey, look what the hosts did. Let's start at the bottom. Yeah, let's go ahead and start at the bottom, since, you know, this is a host-centric show. So we all picked The Tower Heist at number 1, Puss in Boots at number 2, Harold and Kumar at number 3, In Time at number 4, and Paranormal Activity 3 at number 5. Therefore, we all ended up with a 20. That would be Jonathan, myself, Andrew, and Uriah also made those same set of picks. There were more 20s, though. And there's a voicemail that will give us the other way people got 20s.
Hey, this is Tad and Mesa calling in with my picks for this week. I've been in, Glendale, California, which is just basically part of the greater Los Angeles area, for work for the last couple of days. Haven't had access to the internet. So my picks are not going in with my usual forethought and planning. I haven't really had a chance to look and see where things are ranking or what's coming out. I don't know, two movies that are coming out. So anyway, here are my picks. For number 1, I'm going to pick Tower Heist. Number 2, Puss in Boots. Number 3, Paranormal 3. Number 4, Harold and Kumar's whatever it is, 3D Adventure or whatever. And number 5, I'm going to keep In Time. So those are my picks for this week. Good luck to everybody, and bye.
All right, thanks, Tad. Both Tad and Mrs. Beast had the same set of picks, with Tower Heist at number 1, Puss in Boots at number 2, just like we did. They lost 3 points there. Picked Paranormal Activity 3 at number 3, lost a point for that one. Harold and Kumar at number 4, lost a point for that one. And got In Time correct at number 5, in 5th place. So, those were the 20s that were hit this week. William did not send in a voicemail, but he did shoot a tweet over with his picks. He had Puss in Boots at number 1, which was correct. Harold and Kumar at number 2, it was in 3rd place, so he lost a point. Paranormal Activity 3, was he had in 3rd, it was in 4th, so he lost a point there. Tower Heist, he picked in 4th place, it was in 2nd, so he lost 2 points. And In Time, in 5th place, lost nothing for that, because it was in 5th place. He got a 21. Mentally also got a 21. She had the top two correct, Puss in Boots and Tower Heist at 1 and 2. She had In Time at number 3, Harold and Kumar at number 4, and Paranormal Activity 3 at number 5. She lost 4 points total for a 21. Next up, we had a group of people who all had the same picks. Basically, they had 1st and 2nd place reversed. They had Tower Heist at number 1, Puss in Boots at number 2, Harold and Kumar at number 3, Paranormal Activity 3 at number 4, and In Time at number 5. And they all ended up with a 22. That was Tom, Jeff, Cougaron, and Father Beast. Next up, Mark. He had Puss in Boots at number 1, Tower Heist at number 2. Those were both correct. Paranormal Activity 3 in 3rd place, Harold and Kumar in 4th, and those were reversed, so he lost 2 points there. And In Time at number 5, that was correct. Mark ended up with a 23 on the week. The last two folks are represented by another voicemail, so let's go ahead and play that and hear how they picked.
Hey there, gentlemen. This is Scott again. And you guys mentioned the 15-minute rule in this week's predictions episode. And I figured I'd share a couple of stories, because I actually have had encounters with that myself. One was that it was a very early morning tutorial on what probably should have been a snow day, considering how much white stuff was on the ground. And someone did actually invoke it. And as they were walking out, bumped into the TA as he was rushing in late because his car got stuck in the snow. The other time, after 15 minutes, he... About two-thirds of the group left, and this was like a small seminar, and then I got up in front and spent about 20 minutes explaining how you could read Fellowship of the Ring without actually reading Fellowship of the Ring. But I guess I should talk about my predictions here. I had them all lined up, and then I actually listened to the show, and you confused me and made me think. But
it's my move.
I think I've got what I want here. So, number one, Puss in Boots. I am not going to bet against the kids' movie, because that has burned me altogether too many times. Number two, we've got Tower Heist. I think this is going to be stupid and bad, but no one seems to agree with me, so I'll keep it at two. Number three, Harlan Kumar 3D Christmas. I probably should put it lower, but considering Harold and Kumar 2 made three times as much the opening weekend compared to 1, I think we might have a solid franchise here. Number 4, I'm going to say In Time. I have no idea what this is about, so I won't comment. And just for pure safety,
you're a bad geek,
number
Scott.
5, Paranormal Activity 3. I think, but if it turns out my original pick for number 5, Run Diary, is right, I'm going to be very upset with you, Tony. Until next time, later.
You're welcome, Scott, for not letting you pick the Run Diary. You're welcome. So Scott and BD both had Puss in Boots, Tower Heist, and Harold and Kumar in 1, 2, 3, and those were all correct. In Time at number 4, Paranormal Activity 3 at number 5. Those were reversed. They lost 2 points. Those gentlemen ended up with 23s on the weekend. Interestingly enough, BD, in his first post, put Paranormal Activity 3 at number 4 and In Time at number 5, and then shortly afterward, changed it. Said he had an edit. And he actually changed his picks to move from a 25 to a 23. He would have ended up with the sole 25 this week. Granted, BD is still at the top of the leaderboard and would have gotten a 25, pushing him even farther away from everybody else. Fortunately, he got the 23, so it wasn't quite so bad. But, that happened. And speaking of the leaderboard, let's take a look at that for just a second. Jonathan, how are you and Andrew doing? Do you see that?
I'm out of the top 10. Hang on. That's all I really care about.
Yeah, so Jonathan has fallen out of the top 10. His 20 brought his average down slightly to an 18.78. Tom got a 22 this week, and it brought his average up to an 18.85. Actually, no, I take that back. Your score did move up slightly to the 18.78. But Tom moved ahead farther and faster than you.
Yeah.
Andrew, his 20 this week brought him up ever so slightly to a 19.11. But Cougaron, his 22 brought him up to a 19.22. So Cougaron passed Andrew also. So both you and Andrew fell a position as Tom and Cougaron usurped your positions respectively. Uriah's 22 brought him up slightly to a 19.33. Scott's 23 brought him up to a 19.875. I'm sorry, 0.88, I guess, because we round. I'm looking at the raw scores instead of the actual leaderboard, which I suppose I should look at the leaderboard, considering that actually has all the position movements on it also. And I'm not looking at that, so I'm going to change that now, so I'm looking at the right thing.
That's why I was confused when I didn't know what to say, because I was looking at the raw data too, and I'm like, I don't know what it means. Yeah, I don't know what it means.
all this math on this thing with colors popping out at me. What is going on?
There are all these numbers, but I don't see the correlation between Andrew and I. But now I do. Also, you know, you didn't mark Tom and Father Beast as having gone up.
What's that?
I said on the leaderboard, Tom went from 11 to 10 and Father Beast from 13 to 12.
I need to fix that.
They're black.
That is a mistake. That is a mistake. Yeah, the top seven, after Cougaron moved from 9th to 8th, the top seven stayed in the same positions, with one exception. We'll get there. Uriah's 22 brought him up to a 19.33. Scott's 23 brought him up to a 19.88. Rich did not participate again and therefore takes another hit. He got his score this week is a 19.07, which is weird, but if you read the rules, you'll understand why he has such a weird number, bringing his average down to a 19.93. I maintain my fourth place position with a 20, bringing my score down to a 20.78. Tad's 20 brought him down to a 21.33. Jeff's 22 brought him up to a 21.33, so therefore Jeff moves from third into second place, tied with Tad for second. And that was the only upward movement in the top seven, but nobody had to move down for Jeff to move up. So that's a win, I think, for Tad at least. And then BD's 23 this week brought his average up to a 22, and he maintains, again, the first place spot. The assassination pool on BD does continue to climb with every week. So, just so everyone's aware of that. And there you go. That would have been the results show. So, let's talk about new movies.
New movies.
There are three of them.
Are there three? I didn't see.
Yeah, there are three. Immortals and Jack and Jill are opening wide on Friday. J. Edgar opens on Wednesday, today as we record this. It's actually opening today, but only in 7 theaters. And then expands to wide on Friday. It expands to 1,900 theaters.
Gotcha.
Which if you look at the Box Office Mojo page that shows the release schedule, it's kind of hidden.
That it is
going wide on Friday, but technically the opening date is today on Wednesday.
I wonder why they're doing that. What do they benefit from?
I don't know unless they're trying to
some award schedule or something.
I don't know. It could be that, or it could be that they might be trying to put it out in major markets to get some kind of buzz going. I honestly don't know. I don't know what the logic is there.
Weird.
So, the three movies. Of the three, the one that I think I would most want to go see, you know, that I would actually desire to give someone money so that I could see it, would be J. Edgar. Clint Eastwood directed, Leonardo DiCaprio, if I could speak correctly.
Well, for those scenes where he's going to be dressed in women's clothing.
That's true. He could be Leonardo.
DiCaprio.
DiCaprio. Wait a minute, is this like a Battlestar Galactica crossover? Because I would pay a premium to see that. Yeah. So honestly, it's not even so much about the subject of the film, but just the fact that I really dig Clint as a director, and I like pretty much most of the stuff that Leonardo DiCaprio has done in the last few years. So I would be seeing this movie just based on the talent on the screen and behind the screen, mm-hmm. behind the camera, I guess. Aside from that, I know it's a biopic or biopic, depending on which weird way you want to pronounce it.
I would imagine that biopic is probably the better way to say it.
It probably is the better way, but I kind of just like how biopic rolls off the tongue. Well,
yeah. Goes with myopic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's got precedence.
True. True. So we go from real history to mythological history with the Immortals. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are comparing this to the 300 or to 300 because there's no "the" in front of it.
Because it looks like
300.
It's like, here's the Persian side of 300.
Well, this is actually Theseus, the tale of Theseus.
Well, true.
So it's not really the Persian side of 300.
I'm thinking of the Immortals, like the
Persian army. That was kind of their nickname.
Yeah. But now that I think about it, I recognize why this movie is called that, but has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I take back my statement. I never entirely figured it out. I'm like, I'm watching this. I'm like, I thought the whole point of the Immortals was they were a giant army that, like, somebody died, another dude stepped up and took their place, that kind of thing. That's their
MO.
This movie doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just a dude shooting arrows. I'm confused.
No, and to be fair, under normal circumstances, that faux pas could have been edited out, but Andrew's not editing this week, so you're just going to live with it being in there.
Oh, I expect it. Even if Andrew's editing,
true. He would probably do something to highlight it, like put a little ding, so you pay a little more attention right before it. Note, Jonathan's about to make a mistake. Do a little voiceover. So that's...
In my defense, the Immortals are tied to the Persians, just not these Immortals.
True. I think that would actually be kind of an interesting story.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're going to rip off 300, then might as well do it, you know.
Do it in an interesting way. That's kind of a sequel, but not really.
We've had the Greek god thing before.
Well, yeah, we've got Clash of the Titans, and they're coming out with a sequel to that. But it's not this. What's going on? This movie wants to be a sequel of so many things, but it's not. It's an original piece, except that it's based on mythology, sort of.
We're taking original.
And then we have, I don't even know what to think of this.
I don't know. I hadn't heard
of it. I'm trying not to think of this. So Jack and Jill is an Adam Sandler pick where he is playing both a male character and that male character's twin female sister.
Does he think he's Martin Lawrence now?
Or Eddie Murphy, or I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking, but this movie just looks weird. Why are we only mentioning African-American actors?
Because the only actor I can think of, the only, like, white actor that I can think of that regular...
Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah, but even there's it's only one movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they...
That's true.
Eddie Murphy and not even... I don't think of Eddie Murphy so much, but, I mean, Martin Lawrence had Big Mama, and Tyler Perry's got...
Madea.
And so it's like, they regularly, So I guess he could be trying to pull a Robin Williams or a Dustin Hoffman.
True, true. Or Julie Andrews, if you go from the other side of the table with the Victor Victoria thing.
True.
Yeah.
I guess there's a long line of... Because Tom Hanks did the cross-dressing thing.
True. Bosom Buddies.
Jack Lemmon and Some Like It Hot.
Some Like It Hot. That,
the person
that's a good movie.
I can't remember the other... Somebody famous.
Tony Curtis.
There you go.
All right.
Marilyn Monroe not cross-dressing.
Of which is a good thing. I am fully down with Marilyn Monroe not cross-dressing.
I don't know. I think she'd look pretty damn hot in that suit.
Well, in a suit and cross-dressing are different.
True.
Just throwing that on the table.
That's true. Yeah, all right. I give you that.
In a suit, not cross-dressing.
My apologies to any cross-dressing listeners that we might have that are offended by my insensitivity.
All right. So, I guess since the three of us tied, and I made the picks to lead it off last time, let's go ahead and change things up and make Andrew do it first this week. Since we do have his voicemail, we can make that happen right now.
Tony and Jonathan, this is Andrew, calling in this week. I'm just kind of astounded. I'm looking at the results from last week. Puss in Boots, what is going on there? Only dropped 3%. Held on, made $33 million last week and did not budge from the first place spot. That astounds me, and I'm upset I'm not there because I just wanted to go on and on about how unbelievable that is. But I'm sure the two of you are probably going to handle that for me. In fact, you probably already have. So I guess looking forward, this week sucks. The Immortals, Jack and Jill looks atrocious. J. Edgar looks interesting. It's only opening 1,900 theaters. Plus it's opening in, well, I guess 7 theaters on Wednesday. I guess that probably won't have too much of an effect. Anyway, so here are my picks. I'm keeping Puss in Boots at number one. I don't expect it to only lose 3% again, but I don't see either Immortals or Jack and Jill getting close to it, even if it drops a third down into the low 20 millions. Number two, I'm keeping Tower Heist there for the same reason. Number three, oh yeah, I'm still keeping A Very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas at number three. Number four, I went ahead and put the Immortals in there. Number five, I didn't want to, but I put Jack and Jill in there. I feel dirty doing it. But, you know, Paranormal Activity drops, you know, a half again down to 4 million. In Time loses a third again. It's down in the 4 millions. You would think that two movies, Immortals, Jack and Jill, no matter how bad they are, they're both opening in 3,000 theaters or more. You think they could beat 4 million to break into the top five. Maybe I've been wrong before. I may be wrong again. Anyway, hope you two knuckleheads have a good night, and I will talk to you guys later. Bye.
One thing I would say about his picks, actually two things. The first related to the second. Number one, I don't think he looked at HSX. Because number two, if he had, he would not have put the Immortals and Jack and Jill at fourth and fifth place. That seems like a bold personal statement to me instead of a well-reasoned pick.
Well, it is.
Maybe it's because of my what is.
What
is which one's relativity? Immortals?
Yeah.
Oh, I am confident then in my picks. Fully confident. In fact, I may just change it slightly because of that. I believe I will. Thank you for reminding me of that.
You are welcome. I think.
Would you like to go or shall I? My picks are ready.
I'll let you go.
My recently modified picks, I should say, are ready because until a moment ago, I had Jack and Jill at number one. But now, because I have found that The Immortals is a Relativity Pictures film. And because Andrew picked it in fourth place, number one. I'm doing it just because of history. So The Immortals at number one, Jack and Jill at number two. I think these movies, while they may not look good, I think they may be a draw. And I think people would go see them. Number three, Puss in Boots. I don't know. I guess it's just not going to lose all that much money. Maybe. I don't know. Tower Heist at number four. And J. Edgar at number five. At first I thought J. Edgar at number five might be a risky position and that it should have gone up a little bit higher. But the more I think about it, I think the audience for J. Edgar is the kind of audience that is going to be just as likely to see it during the day, during the week, as they would be to see it on an opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think the audience will tend to skew to an older audience. And
it strikes me as a long-tail movie.
It really does. This looks like, honestly, this looks like this could be one of the first serious Oscar-style movies that we're seeing for the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's a biopic.
It's not
Clint Eastwood.
Much critical love, though. So
it's not. We'll just have to see how it goes, though. I mean, if it makes enough at the box office, critics could be swayed to it.
Oh yeah.
Other movies that didn't do great critically have still ended up in Oscar contention just based on the individuals surrounding the film. I think with Clint Eastwood and Leonardo DiCaprio, it's possible. At least somebody was, I'm sure, thinking of that when they have it for a, you know, early October release. Or, I'm sorry, November release. So what do you got, Jonathan?
Well, Box Office Mojo has quit doing the Derby.
Really?
They've
something's going on there.
Well, here's what it says that I don't know if this is interesting for the podcast or not, but it says we're now offering Premier Pass content to all visitors of Box Office Mojo. No paid subscription required. Current paid subscribers can get refunds. And then because of the changes, they're no longer offering custom box office reports, box office derby, polls, hangman, and movies grading.
They're also
retiring email updates and forums.
Wow. Something's going on.
If they're owned by IMDb, then I wonder if they're just streamlining it.
It could be. It very well could be. Because now that that's mentioned, I don't believe I've gotten an email from them in a couple of weeks because I was getting email updates of some of the box office stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And they've had a couple of situations over the past couple of weeks where they went a couple of days without updating information.
Yeah.
Like, there was that one weekend where it was like, on Monday, we were waiting to see if we were going to get
Tuesday.
Any... Yeah. It's like, are we going to get any totals from Box Office Mojo, or are we going to have to go to another website like The Numbers or something? Because there are other sources to get the same information. It's just box office information, but I don't know. I kind of like the way Box Office Mojo presents the data.
Yeah.
They do it in a timely manner. They do it in a slick looking way. I recommend this website for that. So it's distressing when nothing gets updated because it's like, come on guys, what's going on?
It's distressing when your reliable source
is no longer reliable.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Alright, so, well, having figured that out, I'm going to need again. And I don't remember if we did this last week on the show or not. I still don't get how HSX plays into this. So The idea is that the price on HSX tends to be, you said, about a third? The opening weekend tends to be about a third?
That's my guesstimation. And it's sometimes accurate and sometimes very much not. Hey, you know what I just realized? With them not doing the Derby, we are the game in town for doing this. Booyah.
Quick, we need to jump on the forums before they close down.
They're already closed.
If you want the Derby.
They're already closed. We just need to start tweeting it. Like, with hashtag box office mojo. So when people search for it, they see the hashtag along with...
I'm sure they'll love that.
I'm sure they will. I am positive that they will just thoroughly enjoy that.
Just jump on the IMDb boards. If you used to go to Box Office Mojo for the Derby.
We just put it in the show notes. It'll start getting picked up when Google indexes the site.
Anyway.
Your picks.
All right, so... You're thinking that if they're about a third, then they should make about $20 million, and you think that Puss in Boots is going to drop below the $20 million mark. Is that about...
My thought is that, yes, it held its box office very well last week.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen situations in the past where one week there will either be a very small drop... And then the following week, there will be a much larger drop to correct for the overall two-week drop.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa, something drops at just a neck-breaking pace and then doesn't drop as far the next week.
Of course, we've also
Paranormal Activity 3 did that.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, it dropped like 70-some percent, and last week it dropped like 50. Which, if it would have dropped at the same pace as it had been, Paranormal Activity 3 would have been in fifth place, and In Time would have been in fourth. So, that's why I'm kind of... It screwed me last time with Paranormal Activity 3, so I'm actually going to bet using the overall two-week drop that I think a 50% drop is due for Puss in Boots.
All right, then.
But don't let me influence you.
Yeah, I made that mistake last week.
You have been dashed against the rocks.
Yeah.
Because of my siren song.
This is true. So here's and in a way, I'm not going to let you influence me, at least in my number one pick. Because while you're right, we have seen the trend be that there are small drops, then huge drops, or huge drops, then small drops. We've also seen The Help.
Yeah.
And we've seen Megamind. And
that's true.
So I'm going to leave Puss in Boots at number one. I don't think it's going to do another 3% drop, but it's got no competition. Jack and Jill... I don't know. I doubt people are going to take their kids to it. It's a PG-rated movie, but, you know, it doesn't seem like...
Wow, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It could draw some of that audience, but I don't think anybody... I don't know. Do people know about this movie?
Yeah.
So, And, I mean... From just the picture on the website, anyway, it doesn't. I can't quite tell that's Adam Sandler in drag. Maybe that's just because the picture's small or something. But
it is.
I look at that.
I've seen the commercial.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I've seen the commercial. It's pretty bad.
So, I'm gonna put Puss in Boots at number one. I will let you talk me into bumping up Immortals to number two.
I mean, come on. There's precedent there.
Well, yeah, the trouble is the precedent could go either way.
I don't think it's going to go that far the other way.
We're talking about Andrew and relativity.
We are. I'm gonna bet on this side of it though.
That's fine. I'm betting with you. I'm just not going all in. So I'll put Immortals at number 2. That drops Tower Heist down to number 3. Just because I don't want Jack and Jill to do well.
Yeah.
This is probably a terrible idea because looking at Adam Sandler's past movies, they've done well.
Yeah.
It's probably... Screw it. All right. No. I don't like this. All right, my official list. Let me just start from the top. Number 1, Puss in Boots. Number 2, Immortals. Number 3, Jack and Jill. Ow. Number 4, Tower Heist. And I'm going to go with Harold and Kumar at number 5.
I'm the only one giving J. Edgar any love. It could bite me in the ass, but... We'll see.
It could be good, and it could not. I mean, part of the problem is that, you know, they've opened early, so you know we're not dealing with the like few stragglers, the few weird early reviews that say Jack and Jill is getting right now. This movie is out. People have watched it. People are probably watching it right now on the West Coast. So there's a sense of it, I think, going around, and I don't know. It could do well. It could not. It's my safety pick. Harold and Kumar ends up being my safety pick, because if J. Edgar does really well, and Harold and Kumar drops off the map, the chances of it dropping, you know,
yeah, it won't drop that far.
$12 million to fall below Paranormal and whatever. Really bad. So
yeah,
I'm risking 1 point by leaving J. Edgar off of there, you know. And realistically, you're probably only risking 1 point by putting it on there. But
yeah, I could be risking a few. I mean, if it doesn't do, I mean, it would probably have to do like in the $4 million range before I would risk. 2 points, I would think.
But you gotta figure, you know.
There are 60 Leonardo reviews, DiCaprio. And I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes. There are 68 reviews in right now, and it's got a 43.
Yeah. But something
78% of the audience liked it.
Yeah, the audience liked it. So, I don't know. It's one of those weird things. And the trick is, you don't know how much... I mean, Leo's got a good... track record relatively with what the Howard Hughes biopic, whatever that was, Aviator.
Mm.
I don't know.
I like the Aviator.
Yeah, so I mean, I think people remember that relatively fondly. Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Those historical pictures, that kind of thing. So, and then if it's being directed by Clint Eastwood, you got that too. So I can see it doing well. It's going to do better than $5 million. I just, you know, on the off chance it doesn't.
we'll leave
goofy, raunchy movie on there instead of... Because I still have issues with Leo. He's overcoming them, but there's still that ingrained, you know, his early days, really. Drove me nuts. So
eating Gilbert Grape.
Titanic.
I like Titanic.
Yeah, you're wrong.
I like Titanic.
Plus Juliet.
Yeah, I never saw that. Yeah. I'll tell you the one where when I saw him in that, it was one of those things. It was like he was all right in Titanic, but when I saw him in Man in the Iron Mask, I was like, yeah, he's going to move way beyond what he did in Titanic. Because it was like that role took a whole lot more acting than just,
being a cute guy.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
was most of what his role in Titanic was to be the penis in the group when Kate was there.
Yeah.
Because really, it's all about Kate. I mean, come on. Come on.
I think that movie would have been a lot better if it was just the ship sinking bit. I don't need that crap ahead of it.
No, Kate.
You just like the nude scene.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to. You're not going to make me lie. Because I did. But yeah. No, I do like Titanic.
I didn't.
Well, there you go.
I thought it was stupid.
I'm not gonna get goaded into a Winnie the Pooh argument over this.
I'm just saying, it was a terrible movie.
All right.
It's Avatar.
Anything else?
I haven't even seen Avatar.
Was I supposed to mention something to you to do something else or talk about something else?
I already did it.
Okay.
It was the I almost had 25.
Oh yes.
And I listened to you.
Yes. Though apparently the scales are balanced, because if Scott would have listened to me, he would have ended up with a lower score than he ended up with. So
that's not really balanced. That's one person who was benefited.
And one person who...
two people who were harmed.
To be fair, the Rum Diary, which he would have put in at least fifth place,
uh-huh.
ended up in eighth.
Uh-huh.
So he would have lost 3 points on that. Uh-huh. I saved him.
Congratulations. You cost me 5, and you cost BD 2... So that's 7 points you cost versus 3 points you saved. The balance, the scales, they're still tipped in favor of you're a dick.
I can accept that. If I could have just brought BD's score down to a 15, that would have been... everyone... would have cheered me then.
Yeah, I guess crap. You're right. The scales are balanced. Because you cost me 5 points, but costing BD 2 points is technically a good.
Yeah, so it would have been better if I cost him more than two,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but combine that with the 3 that you cost.
That's true.
Scott, or save Scott, then you actually did 5 points of good.
Five. Balance. It's all about... I have brought balance to the leaderboard.
I didn't want to have to admit that.
I am the Anakin Skywalker minus the awkwardly shouting no of this podcast.
Have you seen that they added that to the original trilogy, too?
I've heard that.
Oh, I saw the scene. It's terrible. Mm. I don't know why. I don't understand why James Earl Jones allowed that. Like,
did he have a choice in it?
it's a different... Well, I don't know. It might be the same line from the Vader transformation.
Uh-uh. Vader... Oh, you mean the same bit of audio?
Yeah.
I think it might have been. I think that I heard that it was the same bit of audio.
It's the exact...
The original...
that's even worse.
Yeah, that's weirder. The scene where he's looking back and forth and yeah. then doesn't say anything and he just acts.
Yeah.
Cinematically, that's just cooler. I mean, it's
so much better.
It's so much better.
Just I'll tell you that he's looking back and forth gives you the, like, dilemma. You don't need him voicing the dilemma. Like,
And I've got to be honest, not every change Lucas made was bad. And granted, he's made a lot of changes, and many of them were bad. But, like, the change at the end of Jedi, when you see the three ghosts, and one of them is Hayden Christensen, instead of that other guy, the old guy, that actually works for me. Because the idea being, this is how you saw them when they were last Jedi.
Yeah.
And I can kind of buy that, because that was back when he hadn't been corrupted.
Yeah, I get that. And plus, it ties the, you know,
it ties
if you're willing to acknowledge the existence of the.
That's bogus. Those. I hate that concept. They're there. Don't.
Says the guy who doesn't want to admit that Highlander 2 exists.
I admit that it exists. I just don't want to watch it. It's there.
I am making
the choice to not watch it.
I'm about 95% positive that I can go back through the BSB.
I'm sure I have said something to the effect. To be fair, there is a lot of audio. There's a whole lot of me talking. I actually looked at the folder on the web server with all the audio files just from BSP, BSBO, and BSQ. None of the TLI stuff. Just those. It's approaching 13 gig. Just the audio files. 300 some files. It's fairly ridiculous at this point. All right. I got nothing else. I think I'm done.
Yeah, no, I think we bullshitted long enough.
That works. All right. next week, we'll be here.
As we have been every week before.
And if you're listening this far, go ahead and listen after the music. There's a little something extra. We do occasionally put a little something extra after the music. There will be some little something extra after the music this time. I'm telling you, so you can stick around and listen. Do it.
Oh, I should mention. I meant to say this after Scott's voicemail, just to bring things back around. For whatever reason, students at my school are even more impatient than others. Like, they want to leave after 5 minutes. And one day, because I had an old philosophy professor. I mean, dude has to be at least in his, probably pushing his late 70s. Like, dude is old. And very forgetful. And one day, they just let, like, probably all but 6 or 7 people left class. Because when he came down, he was like, yeah, I just forgot class was today. And it was actually kind of cool because we had 5 or 6 people and we just sat around and BS'd for an hour. It was kind of great.
That's awesome.
But anyway, that's completely off track. Feel free to listen afterwards for something that might not be.
All right.
Look how I tied that back around. Now we can.
Well done. Now we can end. Everything is right with the podcast.
Hey, backseat producers. This is Tad calling in from Mesa again. I got a comment. I was listening to Backseat Box Office. I'm not sure exactly what show, the last one anyway. And I believe there was a comment made or something like that. Anyway, I got the impression that Tony lives in Columbia, Missouri, and that made me remember it. And actually, this comment is going back to movies. I lived in Columbia, Missouri back in the early 70s. My dad was going to grad school there at Missouri State, I think it is, that's there in Columbia. And we were there in 73. I was about three years old. Or so at the time, and I believe they were filming the movie Tom Sawyer with Johnny Whitaker there in, I think it was, they did some of the filming actually in Arrow Rock, which is just down the road there from Columbia, and so my dad took the family out there to watch them filming the movie, and I remember my dad has, you know, we have home movies of the movie actually being filmed and things like that, and during the home movie, they stop the filming of the movie, and someone holds up this kid saying, hey, this kid ran into the scene, and whose kid is he? You need to get him so we can keep filming. And it was me, and my dad's filming them, holding me up, asking, whose kid is this that's run onto the set? I also remember that Sunday Johnny Whitaker went to church with that same church that my family and I went to, and my mom pointed out, "Hey, that's Tom Sawyer over there," and I thought that was the coolest thing. But those are about my only memories from that long ago. But anyway, just thought I'd bring that up, and since it was related to movies and things like that. So, bye, and good luck.
Hello, this is Tom calling in with the first Backseat Box Office UK segment. I'm calling not exactly live from the centre of Leicester Square in the centre of London. Leicester Square is kind of like the main entertainment capital for England and the rest of the UK. As I look around me, there's several large theatres, cinemas, which is where the main premieres are done for American and British films in the whole of Europe, radio stations, and even a casino as well. As I do these segments for the weekend results each week, I'll try and take you around an audio tour of different parts of the capital so you can experience them in sound, if maybe not in person. Right, I'll give you a rundown of the top five so you can compare them to the American top five. In first place, there's The Adventures of Tintin, which grossed this week $3.5 million, and it's down just about 68% on last week. It came out as a new film last week. This is one you definitely want to keep an eye on in the US. It's only been released in the foreign markets and hasn't actually reached the US yet. It's directed by Steven Spielberg and produced by Steven Spielberg and Peter Jackson. There's music by John Williams, and the actors are Jamie Bell, Daniel Craig, Cary Elwes, Nick Frost, Toby Jones, Simon Pegg, and Andy Serkis. So it's quite a tour de force of good actors. If you're not familiar with Tintin, it's originally a French series of graphic novels, and it's been obviously been translated into English quite a long time ago. Very, very popular. I mean, I read them when I was young, and I need to rebuy them with the popularity of it. As I look across now at the Odeon, there is a huge poster that's about the size of several houses covering the entire wall for Tintin. So this is a big release. Actually, worldwide, it's done over 125 million in just 2 weeks, so it's definitely one to look out for, even when it's released in the US, I expect it will be. In second place, there was In Time, and that grossed just over 3 million. And in third place was Tower Heist, which grossed 2,327,000. In fourth place, still hanging around, is Johnny English Reborn. That's been a lot stronger in the UK than it obviously did in America. I think it's in 18th place now or something crazy. And in total, it's only grossed about 7 million so far. Whereas in the UK, this week, it grossed 1,334,000. And overall, it's actually done quite well. 30,463,000. I mean, it's a British film. Rowan Atkinson's a British actor. He's quite popular. It's the kind of film people would take their children to. I even know of a lot of youngsters that were kind of in the early teens. They all went to see it. You know, they're not quite old enough to see a 12. Mum and Dad let them go and see this, as it was a PG over here. And finally, in fifth place, Paranormal Activity 3, which was down 57% on the week. And that grossed 1,283,000, nearly 284,000. So anyway, that's just a kind of unpolished run-through of the top five. Hopefully I can perfect the formula for next week, make it sound a bit more professional. And hopefully you won't get so much noise. Leicester Square itself is completely dug over. It's all blocked off. They've got cranes and diggers and all kinds of JCBs, men in hard hats, people with saws. They're redoing the whole thing to vamp it up, to make it ready for those big premieres that we do get from time to time. So, I'll see you next time.